This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being here with us today on WNRN and the Sunday morning wake-up call. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday outside. I hope everyone's enjoying the day, including Richmond's 103.1 listeners. This is one of those topics today that I find intriguing, enlightening, somewhat sad, and important. All those things mixed together. How cool is that? And our guest today, we have Cardi Lominac. She's the executive director of the local Shelter for Help in Emergency. Good morning, Cardi.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I didn't get squat out of that. Absolutely squat. Rusty Simpre, can you come over here and poke some... No, that's on. All right, so let's say hi to Sheila Michaels, also with us today. Sheila, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, it'd be doing much better if the microphones that we queued up before we started all worked at the moment. That's another one of those sad things that we were talking about. So, Cardi, tell me a little bit about your job at the shelter.
Sure. I have a great job, and I would love to work myself out of it, so that would mean that we were working toward ending domestic violence in our community. But as executive director, I am in a position of overseeing all of the programs and services that the shelter has to offer, from our 24-hour hotline and 24-hour emergency shelter to the outreach programs that we provide to the community, for our Spanish-speaking members of the community and for children in our community, as well as doing the fundraising pieces that keep us going, keep the lights on, keep the house open. So I guess I do a little bit of everything. Started to say a Jackie of all trades, but that sounds just bad.
And one of the reasons that we're interviewing Cardi and talking about the Shelter for Help in Emergency is the upcoming fund drive, one of the things you've been doing for 5 years, mm-hmm. correct?
That's correct.
The Design House, 2014 mm-hmm. Design House. Mm-hmm. And so Sheila Michaels is here because you are one of the designers involved. Right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that. Well, tell me, you know, we're going to talk about the Design House as we go through the hour, but explain to me how and why a design of a house works for the Shelter for Help in Emergency as a fund drive.
So I think, if I can jump in for Sheila, I think one of the things that is good about that is that we have an opportunity to showcase what we hope for every home in our community, and that is a home that is harmonious, that's peaceful, that's warm and welcoming. And designers like Sheila are the ones that truly put that on for us.
And so, Sheila, your role and making the 2014 Design House?
Well, I'm one of the designers who gets chosen to work in the Design House. And it's a great opportunity for designers because we don't have a client. So the home is the opportunity for us to just express, well, wait. What I meant
I
was...
love that. It's like the clients are the ones that are really the trouble in the situation.
We get to design however we want, which is a treat. So you're not actually working with a client. You get to do... This might be the time that you want to try that zebra wallpaper and you didn't have an opportunity to try it. So you get this home and you get a blank slate to work and do design the room however you choose as a designer. And it's that time to really show what talents and the different things that you can do that you might not normally have an opportunity to do with a client.
Yes, the troublesome clients. Let's get those out of the way.
Oh, and I have the best clients. Oh, God.
I'm going to burn you for that throughout
That's
the hour.
I hope
you
understand.
All a joke. But true, because part of the goal for the Design House is to is the show different? I mean, it's not to showcase the designers themselves, because that's a selfish way to view the program, right? That you're not raising money for the Shelter for Help and Emergency by showing the designers' abilities and hope that you get more clients. The goal is to bring it in and show how cool things can be in your house and what a harmonious space can look like for people who are, you know, as you think about people who don't have a harmonious space.
Right. I think it's really nice. It's a win-win situation all the way around. We have a generous homeowner who offers their house to us for free for 3 months in the spring. We come in and bring the designers in a couple of months ahead of time to see and choose their rooms. And then they are working hard up to the end before we introduce the house to the public to as Sheila said, bring in their wonderful ideas and work their magic in the rooms. But it is a win-win, Rick, because the designers do have a chance to showcase their work to the community, perhaps get some business, while offering the message of the shelter in a very subtle way. And
I like this. If you look at the card that I was given, sort of one of the promotions, what the designers are doing, the phrase on there is perfect, because peace on earth begins at home.
Right.
Sheila, we'll do this multiple times throughout the hour. Again, we're talking with Sheila Michaels and Cardi Lominac about the Shelter for Help and Emergency and the 2014 Design House, which is a fundraising event for the shelter. The dates and times, Sheila?
It is May 3rd through May 18th, and they are open from 10 to 4 Monday through, 10 to 4 Monday through Friday, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Friday, 10 to 4, and Wednesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 7.
And we'll be doing that. I noticed that this fell on Mother's Day.
Yes.
And UVA graduation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can come close to the university. But I actually have to get in the way of everything that's going on at the university.
Exactly. And we've been billing it to the students as an opportunity to have a little bit of time separate from their families if they're in for graduation, that they can send their families off to Design House for a couple of hours while they have a chance to say goodbye to their friends.
All right. We are talking about the Shelter for Help and Emergency and the 2014 Design House. It's 11:07 here on the Wake Up Call. Cardi, the executive director of the Shelter for Help and Emergency, otherwise known as SHE, let's talk about why you're there. You said that you're trying to work yourself out of this job.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But unfortunately, you're not, and I think we know that you probably won't. Has the understanding of domestic abuse changed in the last few decades? Greater discussion of what it is, has the assuming that there is greater discussion, which I believe there probably is, have the number of cases increased because it's more likely people to come out, or decreased because of the work that's involved and you are helping remove the problem?
Right. Lots of good questions in there. Let me see if I can tease some of them out. One is that I think there is a greater discussion in the general public about domestic violence these days. There are lots of TV shows. There are radio shows. We're doing a lot, as the shelter, we're doing a lot of public speaking opportunities to talk about not only the issue of domestic violence and the services of the shelter, but just trying to do some prevention work too. If we can get the information out there, perhaps we can stop this intergenerational cycle of violence. So I think there is a greater discussion, and what that has brought with it is a greater number of partners working with us on these issues. And that means community members, people in the criminal justice system, people in the legislature. So I think there are a number of different partners these days that work with us to try to help women and children and families who are struggling with this. And because of that, there are more options available for people. So I don't know that I would be comfortable saying that the shelters numbers have gone up dramatically with the increase in conversation, because simultaneously there have been a number of additional remedies that someone can seek. When I first started doing this work about 25 years ago, there wasn't such a thing as a protective order, and those have been enhanced over the last 10 years, and certainly within the last two, the General Assembly has done some hard work to enhance penalties and expand the protective order. So things like that have helped with women and children who were seeking services.
And I realize this is a dangerous plank to step on. Have politics been as helpful as they could be? You talk about how the protective order has been put forth, something that wasn't there two decades ago.
Right.
And I think that's agreed that that has, or I would believe, have done tremendous work.
Right.
But have there been other rules, regulations, bills put forth that maybe not yourself, but others who do this work shake their head and go, "What? Why? Why is that overlooked?"
Well, certainly, there are always bills that are put forward in the General Assembly that you kind of, you know, tilt your head and scratch it and think, "Why on earth is that coming up?" But by the end of the General Assembly session, generally, and I've spent a great deal of time down there over the last couple of years as a member of the State Coalition's Public Policy Committee, I think in the end, what comes out of the General Assembly generally is something that's helpful to victims of domestic violence. I think they've been educated more by programs like the shelter and others across the state. There are about 54 of us, either as sexual assault programs or domestic violence programs or dual programs. And we try to do the best that we can to educate the legislators so they can look at what's being introduced and say, you know, this does support victims of domestic violence, or this does not, and so they are making a difference there.
Again, that's Cardi Lominac. She's the executive director of the Charlottesville Albemarle Shelter for Help and Emergency. You know, Cardi, do you, I say Charlottesville Albemarle, yes. Do you reach further into our local counties?
Yes, we serve all of Planning District 10, which is the city and county of Albemarle, and then the four surrounding communities of Fluvanna, Green, Louisa, and Nelson. And certainly our presence isn't as strong in the smaller communities as it is in Charlottesville and Albemarle for lots of reasons. And we continually work to try to enhance our programs for the rural communities.
I think for some, I won't say many, but I'll say some, who maybe watch a lot of television or movies, and what you see is the woman sort of unfortunately tolerating what's happening in the abusive relationship. Have you found that as the discussion has increased that you have women who less tolerate the situation themselves, they leave the relationship sooner than they might have in previous generations?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to answer it from a different perspective. One of the things that we have found in working with women who have come into the shelter multiple times, and it generally, national statistics show that it takes 7 to 12 times before a woman will be able to leave the relationship and be able to stay gone. And there are a number of good reasons why that is. And I would offer that when they're staying with us at the shelter or working with us in an outreach capacity, counseling or legal advocacy, they're learning a lot about the red flags, what to watch for, what to look for. They can see how that cycle of violence happens in their own family dynamic and begin to recognize some of the signs earlier and get out earlier. So that's one of the things that I see, the educational component that we offer is really making a change for the women that are seeking services.
11:14 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about the local shelter for help and emergency, domestic abuse, domestic violence, and the upcoming fund drive for the shelter, the 2014 Design House. We have Cardi. She's the executive director at the shelter. We also have Sheila Michael. She's one of the designers for the 2014 Design House. Stay with us.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
TNN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
Road Holland Cycling Apparel, makers of cycling jerseys and shorts. Road Holland's designs for men and women echo the classic cycling jerseys of the past, featuring American sizing. Road Holland, based in Richmond and selling to the world at roadholland.com.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everybody. This is WNRN. We're talking with Cardi Lamanac, Sheila Michaels, here to talk about the Shelter for Help and Emergency in our local area, as well as their upcoming fun drive at the 2014 Design House. No, Cardi, it's sad for me to say this, sad to ask this question for any purpose. I mean, I don't like having this topic because it exists in our world. And I don't know if it's better to talk about it because kids are involved. And maybe that drives more people to pay attention because the little kids are also involved. Talk about that, the family issue of what happens at the shelter.
Certainly. Just because it is primarily a woman who is being abused in a domestic violence scenario in a home doesn't mean that there aren't other victims within the home. And the children we often refer to as the silent victims because they are watching and listening and learning what's happening in their home. And for us, it's really important to address the needs of children, helping them understand that what's happened in the home isn't their fault, helping them know how to stay safe, how to get out, how to get help. So for us, working with the children and helping them identify their needs and providing the support is a really important aspect of what we do. We know that children who witness violence in the home, not even those that are abused themselves, but witnessing violence, are more likely to become perpetrators or victims of violence as they reach adulthood. So for us, it really is an opportunity to try to make a change in that family dynamic for them, hopefully changing their lives. We know that we have a limited window of opportunity from the time a child experiences a traumatic event to the time that it gets ingrained and becomes part of who they are. And so trying to get some support services, including perhaps therapy, but definitely just support services and activities, is a real important part of what we offer while women and children are staying with us at the shelter.
Now, we'll go through this again throughout the hour. There are a large number of projects. It's not the word that I want.
programs,
thank you, that are offered. And one of them being child and adolescent advocacy. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Sure. So nearly half of the individuals that come through the shelter in any given year, and this past year we had 225 women and children who came through the residential program, and nearly half of those were children. And so we have somebody at the residential facility that is completely dedicated to working with the children on the issues that they're facing and working with mom to try to help her address some of those pieces of children's understanding, trying to help build their confidence and nurture resiliency in the children. So it is an important aspect. We also are working with children after they've left the shelter, trying to do some support groups and doing some work in the schools and especially with middle school girls, trying to build self-esteem and self-confidence so that they have a toolbox of things they can draw from to help stay protected themselves, to grow up strong. It's an important aspect of what we do.
It's a sad thing that you even need to have that. Shelter for Help and Emergency, Cardi Lamanac, is the executive director of the local shelters: Charlottesville, Albemarle, Fluvanna, Nelson,
Green, and Louisa.
Green and Louisa. We also have Sheila Michaels here today. Sheila, one of the designers for the 2014 Design House, open May 3rd through May 18th, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then on Fridays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., the extra long sessions Wednesday and Thursday when it's 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the Farmington area. Sheila, I asked you before we started about what room you had done. You did the kids' room.
Yes.
Why did you do the kids' room, and what's special about that for you?
Well, what happens, how we get our room assignment is when they have an open house in February and all the designers come through and we look at the rooms. And every year, it's really like Christmas. You look and you're excited to see the house. We can't wait to see it. We go through all the rooms. And usually every year there's a room that you radiate to that you say, oh, this is the room I want to do. And this year the house was beautiful. So we had... there wasn't a bad room in the house to choose. Some years you're like, oh no, I don't want to deal with that wallpaper, or the kitchen is a big expense. So you look at all of those things when you're doing the house. And so this year, for some reason, I was just really drawn to the children's room, and it's a fascinating room. I mean, it's just great to design, and it's got these wonderful vaulted ceilings. And so I thought, I was just really interested in doing that room this year. And when I decided to do it, it really hit home. It's not just about designing the room. I'm designing this room for a child, and it made me think of the children who go through the services at the shelter. And so that just gave me a whole different perspective this year in designing than normally, oh, it's fun, let's pick the fabric, let's pick the furniture. And it's this whole big fun game, getting together your room and coming up with the scheme. But it was just always in the back of my mind that I'm designing this room, and there are children who are leaving the safety of their room and they're staying at the shelter, because when you're a child, your room is your haven. That's your special place that you can go to if you need time alone. And when you have to leave your home and you're staying in a shelter, that's a whole different deal for a child. And it just really hit home to me this year in designing that room.
And let's remind people that this is a fundraiser for the shelter. Mm-hmm. So as much as we've been talking about it and going to the design house in Farmington, there is an admission price, $20 for one time, $45 for a multiple pass. Sheila, how do people find the house?
They can go to the website, and there will be directions on where to park, because you cannot park at the home. You'll be parking at
Westover Farm. It's 555 Old Garth Road.
And a shuttle will then take you to the house. So the website is great. The Seaville Design House website has all the information for the events, for the times, for the ticket price, and how to get to the parking area.
And I have in my notes that the website is SeavilleDesignHouse.com.
Yes.
So pretty easy to find.
Rick, could I add a couple of things? It's really important to note that we have a lot of partners on this, not just the homeowners and the wonderful designers and their vendors, but the UVA Foundation has given us the use of Westover Farm for our parking, and Brown Auto has been doing our shuttles for the last several years. So these are partners that we wouldn't necessarily have, and who are going out of their way to help support us. One of the things that you saw, you mentioned the $45 multi-day pass. One of the reasons people might want to consider that is that we have 11 different seminars and special events happening during the course of the week, every day at 10:30, every day except Sunday and Tuesdays when we're closed. So there's something special happening at the house every day.
And we have a call. Let me see. Change all this stuff up. And I'm just not as good as I used to be. Scott, are you with us?
I am.
You got a question or a comment on our topic today?
Yeah, I pulled over while driving, and I was going to ask three brief questions, and you all are welcome to answer, and you're all. Number one, do you notice a difference, or for phone volunteers, is there a difference between how your callers might react to a male versus female? Number two, do you have any... sort of set up for, or have you ever had any history of husbands being the subject of abuse and bringing their children there? And then number three, is it limited to spouse interactions. You know, obviously there's sort of a gray area, and at some point it would transition into witness protection, which you obviously wouldn't do. But like if you have relatives you're afraid of, but are a single mother, for example, would you be eligible? And then I will hang up and listen on the radio.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Great question, Scott. Let me see if I can reach back and get all of them. So,
all right, I got my notes.
All right, then help me out. Go ahead.
Where all right, would so you like for me let's, to start? I think one of the first questions was reacting differently to male callers mm-hmm. on your mm-hmm. hotline. So what is the hotline number real quick for anybody
sure.
who's listening?
It's 434-293-8509. And we are always interested in having positive male role models in the house, at the shelter, and on the hotline. I think it really helps with the women and children to have, you know, someone there that has been trained and educated on the issues of domestic violence and be able to offer a different view of what a male role might be in a relationship, in a family. So we see it as a very positive thing. Certainly there are times when someone has been so severely injured by her partner that happens to be a man that she would say, you know, I'd rather be speaking to somebody else. And we try to make that happen. But having positive men working in our services is always great. And I would just mention that we have a pool of about 300 volunteers that help in different ways. And about 7,200, hours of volunteer service was provided by volunteers last year. So yes to having men, and we'd welcome your involvement, Scott.
What about, and I think I understood Scott's second question properly, what about men on the other side, mm-hmm. men who are suffering their own abuse in the relationship?
Yes, there are times that we have men that reach out to us for support, whether they're in a traditional or non-traditional relationship, and we provide the same services that we do for women and children who are being abused. I think one of the hardest cases that we have had over the past several years was a man with his children, and what we know about trying to find safe space. At this particular time, we haven't had men staying in the residential facility because we can find other places that are safe, and we provide the same support services to them in the alternative locations. But a man with children is a harder scenario to try to find a safe place for. And then I think his third question was around...
had to do with, if I remember right, about the relationship.
And exactly.
I think we chatted about that with one of my questions, so I'll ask it in that manner. Assuming that I can find it. Does the relationship need to exist? Must you be married or must you be living together to have the need?
No, not at all. When we talk about domestic violence, just by that term that it's been given over the probably last 10 years, it cleans it up a little bit, and it talks about it in terms of what you think of domestic as being in a home or a family. But what we also talk about is IPV, intimate partner violence. So that stretches across a lot of different relationships. And we're finding that as young as middle school, we're working with victims of violence up through and including the elderly. So we're reaching a lot of different people in a lot of different configurations of relationships.
11:28 here on the Wake Up Call. Scott, thanks for the questions. Those were great. The phone line is open if you have a question about the Shelter for Help in Emergency or the 2014 Design House, 434-979-0919. 434-979-0919. Sheila Michaels, one of the designers for the 2014 Design House, the fundraiser for Cardi Laminax, Shelter for Help and Emergency organization, where she is the executive director. Cardi, what are some of the steps to be successful in ending this sort of abusive relationship? You mentioned at the start of the program that typically the person being abused leaves 7 to 12 times and returns before finally leaving and ending the relationship. Did I remember that correctly?
Yes. Yes, you did.
So how do you help me? What are the steps in getting to that point of that last return and moving on for good?
I think there are a number of things that are involved, Rick. One of them is helping the woman find the resources that she needs to be able to be successful on her own. What we know about abusive partners is that they're really good about isolating their victims, isolating them from family, from friends, often looking at ways to keep them in the house and out of the public so that they continually limit the resources they have available to them to ask for help or seek support or anything like that. So it's important to expand those resources for. What we also know is that a lot of women who are in abusive relationships really want that relationship to work. They think if they can change or if they can help him change, then the relationship can be successful. And so they're looking at all the ways that they might be able to find some hope. And so they stay longer. Often, speaking to Sheila's doing the children's room, often it is when the children become involved in the violence in the home that women will make a decision to get out of the house.
Ginger, are you still with me? Ginger, yes, are you there?
Hi. Yes, hi.
Your question, a comment for the ladies.
Just a couple practical things since you're on the air. Could they speak to, considering the fact that a lot of folks and their children leave under emergency situations, could they speak to a packet for leaving that can be put in a safe place, and advice for, say, the mom or the woman who has left so that they can manage to get out of the situation without being found. I worked at the shelter for a number of years at its inception, and unfortunately some things happened that resulted in a bad outcome. And if anyone were listening, this sort of information might be helpful.
All right, Ginger, thanks. I'm going to let the ladies and Cardi talk about that.
Thank you very much.
Cardi, so the packet?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ginger, for helping the shelter get started. I'm guessing that was before my time, and I really appreciate those women who went before us and started this work in our area. I believe probably what she's talking about is what we talk about today is safety planning. So every person that comes through the shelter or calls on our hotline or we meet in a public venue, we talk about safety planning. And part of that is individualized to every person that we're talking with because their situations are different. Domestic violence as a whole has some similar components to it, but everybody's situation is a little bit different. So we have to be, we have to have the safety planning driven by the woman who is experiencing the violence herself. So at any given time, and people can go to our website. Let me start there. People can go to our website, which is theshelterforhelpandemergency.org. You can look on there for resources for women and safety planning and things like that. So safety planning might mean looking at some code word with a neighbor or a friend that she knows if she hears that code word, something is amiss. Hiding some, putting aside some money, hiding a key, parking your car in your driveway so that the only thing you have to do is pull out instead of back out of a driveway and get going. It might be birth certificates, marriage license, school information for the children, immunization records, mortgage information or rental information, all of these things. Having a suitcase packed with some emergency clothes for you and or your children, hiding those with a friend, having a plan if you need to get out in a hurry, where you can go and what you can do. We do this with children as well, trying to help them understand some ways that they might, if they find themselves in a bad situation, that they can get some help. And so we're working with all of the family members. And this might be a good time to mention that the hotline that we talked about earlier is not just for victims of domestic violence. It's for family members, allied professionals, anyone who needs support around knowing someone or being someone who's been a victim of domestic violence or exposed to it.
11:35 here on the Wake Up Call. That's Cardi Lominac. She is the executive director of the Shelter for Help and Emergency, Charlottesville, Albemarle, Fluvanna, Louisa, Nelson, and
Green.
Gosh, I think, you know, I need to. It's these Sunday mornings when the brain is at its worst, unfortunately, for listeners from 11 until 12. And Sheila Michaels is here. She is one of the designers for the 2014 Design House.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
Stinson Vineyards, whose tasting room is open Thursday through Sunday at 4744 Sugar Hollow Road in Whitehall. You're invited to taste their wines and learn about their wine club. You can also find Stinson Vineyards wines at grocery stores and wine shops all over Virginia. More information at stinsonvineyards.com under Where to Buy.
Automated Office Systems, providing WNRN with personalized local copier and printer service and maintenance. Automated Office Systems is headquarters for all of your computer needs, including sales and service of desktops, laptops, and tablets. That's Automated Office Systems, AOScorp.net.
Hi, I'm Amy Whittemore from Literacy Volunteers. We are seeking compassionate and enthusiastic volunteers to tutor adults in reading, writing, or speaking English. Our students come from a variety of backgrounds, and they are hoping to acquire the skills they need to independently pursue life goals, support their families, and contribute to their communities. You can help our students achieve their goals. Our next new tutor training is on Saturday, May 17th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. For more information, call 434-977-3838. You can also learn more at literacyforall.org. I'm Amy Whittemore, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us today on a beautiful, absolutely beautiful spring Sunday morning. Thank you for taking your time to listen to WNRN. We are talking about the Shelter for Help and Emergency, as well as the 2014 Design House. Cardi Lominac, Sheila Michaels, our guest today. Cardi, you were talking about the packet for being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, in preparation for that, how do you keep the person who needs to escape, for the person who's abused, mm-hmm. from being discovered? You go to the website and you're doing your research, and and if the person doing the abuse keeps them isolated, mm-hmm. and is probably checking behind them at all points, how do you not get caught?
That's a great question. We built that into our website design when we had someone do it in the last couple of years, and there is a quick escape button. So if you are on the shelter's website and looking at resources, and the abuser walks into the room and is coming to the computer where you are, there's a quick button that you can push, and it just takes you to your home screen. So you can get out of that. It doesn't erase the history. You have to do that manually, obviously. But at least in that moment, when he's looking over your shoulder, the screen will not have the Shelter for Help and Emergency website up.
And you talk about having one of your packets or setups to leave when you're ready, when you need to. Is possibly to have a suitcase at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
Do others get involved in this situation? Because many people, and again, I'm always, you never know the percentage, but there are some people, whether it's 1% or 2% or 50% or more, who believe that they shouldn't or don't want to get involved in the relationship. So as an outsider, what do you do?
Well, we always encourage people to keep themselves safe, to make sure that as they are considering what they can do to intervene, that they are mindful of their own safety and take precautions there. A quick call to 911 is always an option. It's always been interesting to me to know the statistic that people are more likely to break up a fight on the street between two men than they are between a man and a woman, because they see that as a family affair and something that they shouldn't get involved in.
Yeah, that's atrocious.
I know that for me, if I've seen some people in a parking lot before, you know, I'll just ride around the parking lot and slow down. I've certainly been known to ask, is there something I can do to help? Something that creates a break in whatever is going on helps give that person, that victim, an opportunity to perhaps get away. Does it always work? No, but I certainly believe in trying to intervene rather than step aside. And sometimes that intervention might be asking a third party to do the intervening.
The phone lines are open as we talk about domestic abuse, domestic violence. Cardi Lominac is the executive director at the local shelter for help and emergency, 434-979-0919. Cardi, Scott called earlier in the hour and asked about males answering the phones at the crisis hotline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the 2014 design house for people to go and donate their money to the shelter in that fashion. Are there other things that people can do?
At the design house?
Yeah, well, no,
or for the shelter?
And for the shelter. I mean,
sure.
It's easy. It seems easier to write a check than it does to donate time.
Mm-hmm.
Scott talked about answering the phones.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has an opportunity to go through the process of learning how to the proper way to answer the phones. And then maybe the commitment to do this on a weekly basis or however. What are other things you can do that aren't the long process of learning and the easy process of writing a check?
Right. So I'm going to start by just saying that we have volunteer training that happens 3 times a year, and it's about a 40-hour training. And that, as you said, is a commitment that some people aren't in a position of making. But for those who are, that's an opportunity not only to be a volunteer to staff the hotline and manage the house, but it might be to provide some children's activity groups for the smaller folks that are staying with us in the shelter. It might be somebody who is able to provide some transportation for our clients to get to a doctor's appointment or to grocery shop, something like that. So there are lots of ways that someone can help by providing their time. We have a team of people that's been our design house committee that has worked over the last 10 months on presenting Design House 2014. And so getting involved in ways like that is a way of giving some time as well. And writing a check is easy for some people and not as easy for others. And I think for me, it doesn't matter the size of the check. It's the fact that somebody is giving from their heart and wants to make a difference for people that might have a relationship that is different from their own, and they want to provide some help. So whether it's a $5 check or a $500 check or a $50,000 check, those all matter to us. There are also ways to give in kind to the shelter. So we always are accepting gifts of household items because we're running a house. So the things that you need in your own house, toilet paper, paper towels, dish detergent, laundry detergent, things like that, those are things that we are always accepting. old cell phones. When someone is getting ready to upgrade their cell phone, they can give it to us, and we can either use it as an emergency cell phone for a woman who is working with us, or we can send it away and get a little bit of money for it. There are programs that will take those and turn those into a check for us. So there are a lot of ways to be able to provide support to the shelter, whether it's giving of your time, some funding, or goods.
And we don't want to overlook that one of the key ways to help the Shelter for Help in Emergency is through the upcoming 2014 Design House. Sheila Michaels here, one of the designers. Sheila, again, the dates and the times?
Yeah, May 3rd through May 18th, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday. We're open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, we're open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And one of those nights is Meet the Designer night, which is, Cardi?
It's the first Thursday. And I'm sorry, I don't have a calendar in front of me to be able to tell you what that date is. But it's the first Thursday. And all of the designers will be there. Trump Vineyard has offered us champagne for the evening. And Sweet House Cupcakes is giving us cupcakes for the evening. So come out, see the house, meet the designers, and have a glass of champagne and a cupcake with us.
And first Thursday, by the way, is May 8th.
Thank you, sir.
May 8th. Now, Sheila, we've talked a lot about this year's Design House, but let's compare it to previous Design Houses. There's some, what have you learned from the past that was changed, or what have you added this year that you haven't had in past years?
Well, they have the boutique this year, which is great. So Cardi can speak a little bit more about that, because as a designer, I haven't been involved in it. Although I am going to be helping on Monday to help accessorize that. But this house is the fifth year, and this house is beautiful. And every room in the house, I mean, I think this is going to be our best year. It is just a beautiful home, and the designers really went all out this year. I mean, every year they do. It's always interesting to see what each designer
Sheila,
does.
Is there ever any competition among the designers? I mean, is there an award given about best room, or do you, because there's how many? There's 24 or some designers, and then there's three or four landscapers as well. Mm-hmm. Are there 24 rooms in this house, or are you working, some of the rooms require two people to work together?
Some of the rooms have a team. I think there's two different rooms that have three designers, the dining room and the kitchen. They each have three designers. And, you know, I've worked in design houses in other areas, and I have to say, this is the nicest one. I mean, there isn't that big catty competition or everything. You're excited to see what everyone's doing. And it's just wonderful, especially, you know, with the landscapers. You want to see outside what they're doing. You want to see what each room, what the progress that each one's making. You know, we go in, we're there for 3 weeks working on it. And it's just fun. It's fun to see what everyone's doing.
Are you interested in any specific room that you saw? I mean, have you seen it since the house has been finished?
Well, Monday's the last day, and believe me, some of us will still be there on Monday putting in things. So so it's not complete yet.
And did I read correctly in the promotion that the kitchen has been completely redesigned? Is that correct?
Yes. So the wife of the husband and wife homeowners is an architect by trade. And since this is a different scenario for us, the homeowners are actually moving into the home when we are finished with Design House. So this is new and different. And she really wanted to redo.
I just have this vision of 24 differently designed rooms. But I'm sure if you agree to it, that's because you're excited to do it.
Exactly. So the homeowner wanted to have the kitchen redone, so she wanted to work on that project herself. So she's done the redesign of the kitchen and then worked with some of our designers on the finishing touches of it. So that's been new and will be exciting, I think, for people to come through and see what's been done. One of the things to note is that every room has a poster that talks about the designer and the vendors that have been used in that room. And on the flip side of it, it has a before picture. So you'll get to see what the house, what that particular room looked like before It was redesigned by our fabulous designers like Sheila Michaels.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, so that's the 2014 Design House. You can go online to SeavilleDesignHouse.com. You are raising money for the Shelter for Help in Emergency, buying an admission price ticket, $20 for one time, $45 for a multiple visit pass. Multiple visits because there are a variety of seminars. Sheila, are you doing one of the seminars?
I am. I'm doing one on Saturday the 17th at 10:30, and it's sort of a two-part seminar. The first part is about ways that you can quickly update a room that without having to redo the whole room, and then the second part is learning how to accessorize your space.
And let me finish up by, I haven't heard us mention this before, that a Sedona Tap House, which is in the Millmont Shopping Center, is donated. This is their charity month.
It is.
Not sure how that works, but typically it's a percentage of your sales for the month are donated to the organization. So in this case, for May, Sedona Tap House supporting the Shelter for Help in Emergency.
And that's every Monday night. They have a $5 meal. It's a steak and I think somebody said broccoli. That's my favorite food, so I was, I was happy to hear that. A small steak and I think a side, and a dollar from that meal every Monday night goes to the charity. So that's all Monday nights in May.
Excellent. So let's back to the shelter itself for a little bit and the problem of domestic abuse. Cardi, how was the abuse spread amongst our socioeconomic status groups in terms of percentage, and is the same spread seen at the shelter?
Great question, Rick. What we know about domestic violence is that it doesn't know any boundaries. It cuts across all socioeconomic groups, all educational levels. It just does not know any prejudice whatsoever. It affects everyone. And as I said earlier, both in traditional and non-traditional relationships. And the Shelter for Help in Emergency, our residential program, is primarily for those folks in our community that are without other resources, so they have no other place to go. And so they're coming to us as a last resort. In our outreach programs, our legal advocacy, our individual and group counseling, we see a variety of women from different socioeconomic levels coming to us for support there. So it varies. It's cutting across all areas, but it does, the resources that are available to the individuals varies.
And that's Cardi Lemonak. She is the executive director of the Shelter for Help in Emergency, Charlottesville, Albemarle, Louisa, Green, Nelson, Fluvanna.
Yes.
Man, it only takes me 55 minutes. It is 11:52 here on the Wake Up Call, Charlottesville, WNRN. Verbal abuse versus physical abuse. Mm-hmm. Is there a noticeable difference other than, not to be difficult, but other than a bruise or a broken arm?
What a number of our clients will say is that broken bones and bruises will heal, but the scars that are left from emotional abuse, verbal abuse, are the ones that take longer to actually heal from. And so while we don't draw a distinction between the two in terms of providing services, we do make sure that those that are in imminent danger are the folks that we serve first in our residential facility. But imminent danger could be just simply that threat that he is he's made to harm her or himself. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize that when an abuser is talking about hurting himself, often, and what police confirm for us, is often that means homicide and suicide, not just the abuser taking his own life. So we take those threats very seriously. So it's not just a matter of a hit or a slap or a punch or a kick. It's also the verbal abuse or the mental abuse, the putting somebody down, not letting them have choices and free will, and keeping them isolated, keeping them restricted from family and friends. We look at all of those pieces as part of the puzzle of domestic violence that needs to be addressed.
How does the shelter stay invisible? I would think that that's part of a necessary trait of what you do.
So we have a public face to the community, which is our community outreach center, which is in Sachem Village in just over the line in Albemarle County. And so people can come to us there for services or to drop off donations or things like that. So that's our public face. So we try to keep our residential community separate from that. And that's in another location and on a need to know only basis. So we don't publicize that. And it's hard work to try to help the women and especially the children coming to stay with us keep that confidential. We try not to talk about it in terms of secrets because when there's a secret, everybody wants to know what it is. But if we talk about it in terms of confidentiality and safety and security for the people that are coming to stay with us, it makes a whole lot more sense to people. We're one of the few programs across the state that is still providing services in a confidential residential facility.
Just a few moments left. It is 11:55 on the wake-up call with our guests, Sheila Michaels and Cardi Laminack, as we talk about the Shelter for Help in Emergency and their upcoming fundraiser at the 2014 Design House. Let me tell you that when you support WNRN with your $10 monthly gift, you can pick up In Studio at WNRN Volume 1. There's a 17-track collection of songs recorded in our studios with folks like Alabama Shakes, Brandi Carlile, Shovels and Rope. The unique collection is only available to WNRN members and can't be found in stores. So even though the fund drive is officially over, we're always looking for people to support us here at WNRN. You can go to our website at WNRN.org. So, Cardi, back to the Shelter for Help in Emergency. Perfect time to give out the shelter's web address and phone number for people who need to find you.
Absolutely. So the hotline number is answered 24 hours a day by either a skilled staff member or a trained volunteer. And that number is 434-293-8509. And the website, which can also be secure with the quick escape button, is www.shelterforhelpinemergency.org.
Now, we've really only touched on a few of the programs that are offered, and we'll never get into detailed work here, but we've mentioned the 24-hour crisis hotline, the fact that there is emergency shelters available for those who need it. Pick a couple of the others that you want to at least verbalize that they're there.
Sure. I think one of the things that people come to us for is support. So our outreach, counseling, and support groups are a real important part of the service that we offer, especially for community members that don't need a place to go to stay overnight to be safe, but want some support. Either they've been in an abusive relationship in the past and something, a trigger or has come up for them and they want support, that outreach counseling can be a really important part of what they receive. And then our legal advocacy and court accompaniment for people that are going to face their abusers for the first time in court, to have somebody with them that understands what the legal system works, what court looks like, and can help interpret all of the different parts of that for them, is a nice piece to have somebody that's supportive with
you. How do you prepare someone for that? Because I would think that after typically the person being abused leaves 7 to 12 times and returns before the final escape, is the word that comes to mind. But then you have to go face this person in court. How do you prepare someone for that?
So that may not have come up the first time. So a first leave might just be deciding to take the children and go stay at your parents overnight for a night. And it might be time 6 or 7 when you've decided to come and stay at the shelter and actually do get away for a longer period of time and file some charges. And in that case, we are talking about what the courts looks like, maybe even taking somebody to the courtroom and showing them around. It might mean talking with them, with victim witness coordinator, or with a Commonwealth's attorney. So we do as much as we can to prepare them. And then if we're allowed to, our court advocate will stand up when she's there testifying to be between her and the abusive partner to sort of block any visual and make it as safe as possible.
All right. So one last time, the website and the phone number.
Sure. The website is www.shelterforhelpandemergency.org, and the hotline number is 434-293-8509.
All right. That's Cardi Lominac. She's the executive director for the Shelter for Help and Emergency, as we talked about domestic abuse and domestic violence. The upcoming 2014 Design House begins in a few days. That's a fun drive. Sheila, take us out with the dates and times for this event.
May 3rd through May 18th, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Wednesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
SevilleDesignHouse.com. Ladies, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Les Thames-Perdue up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong and Max Cecilia Struther. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.